Verse number 12, if he offer it, offer what? The peace offering for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour and fried. Man, you get hungry just reading about sacrifices, can't you? But the unique thing that I feel is tied in here, the very first time that thanksgiving is mentioned, about giving with thanks. That's what that is, thanksgiving. You're not only being thankful what has been given to you, but you are giving with a thankful heart. That the first time that it is actually mentioned, it is intertwined with peace. There, the word, when you look it up, of the same root meaning as contentment, or a heart, a person, an individual whose spirit, whose attitude is in a place of being satisfied, being content where they are. And the Bible is trying to show us that the only way we can give with thankfulness in our heart is if we are truly content where we are. It's going to be a difficult thing to do, to be thankful inside of your heart, if while you are giving, you are actually envious of someone else, or you are coveting something else. But if you are content where you are, if you are content in what God has done for you, if you are satisfied at where you find yourself in God, and I don't mean pursuing more in Him, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not having a spirit of covetousness or a spirit of envy or jealousy or lust for other things, but you find yourself content in God, and if the Lord deems to raise you up, that's okay. But if the Lord sees to put you down, that's okay. Paul the Apostle said, I've learned to be content whether I am abased or whether I am exalted. It didn't matter to Paul the Apostle. Why? Because it wasn't about where he was. It was all about, is God there? And that is what should matter in our hearts and in our life, is that where I'm at right now, is God here? Can I feel the presence of God? Can I touch God? And is God touching me? And if I have a need, then I'll trust Him to provide that need. But I am content where I'm at. And when we reach that place in the Holy Ghost, then we can take of what little we have. And when we go to give, it won't be with the spirit of, I can't believe I'm giving this. Well, I won't even have anything left when I do it. Or with the spirit of, I need to hoard this to myself lest I run out. No, it won't be that way at all. You'll be giving of the little you have and thankful to the Lord that you're able to do it, knowing that God is with you and God is going to take care of us. Praise God. Clap your hands with thankfulness to the Lord. Now, I like that word here. The first time I use this word of thanksgiving. It is it's a two meaning word in its root structure, and that is, it means hand. Everybody say hand. And it means revolving door. Now, I thought that was pretty unique. How did you get thanksgiving, or how did you come together with the word thanksgiving from the word hand and revolving door? How did you bring that together? Well, it's pretty simple. The revolving door represents whatever comes into me from God, I'm going to gladly send right back out. I'm not going to hoard it up in some storehouse somewhere. It's a revolving door. As it comes in, it's going to go out. As it comes in, it's going to go out. As it comes in, it's going to go out. How am I going to do that? I'm going to do that with my hand. In other words, I am purposely going to decide to bless somebody else. It's not going to be by an accident. It's not going to be something that just simply happened to come my way. It's not going to be because I'm eating and I'm full and so I say, hey, would you like to have the rest? No, it's God has blessed me. I'm going to look at what he's given me. I'm going to purposely decide in my heart and in my mind that I'm going to bless somebody else. And so the word thanksgiving comes from hand and revolving door. My Lord have mercy. I want to tell you, there's nothing that will bring more joy to you and me than if we'll learn to take what God has given us and share it with other people and bless it with other people and touch other people and let that door in our life become a revolving door. Because if you'll keep it turning, that means it keeps coming in. But the day you stop the door, the day you fill up your little barn and decide, well, I've got enough to work on here a little while, and you stop the door, because as long as the door is turning, it's coming in and it's going out. But the moment you decide you're going to keep it, the door stops. That means nothing else. It's coming in. And what you have left will spoil and it will die. It's like water going down into a pool that has no outlet. It's going to become a cesspool. It's going to spoil. It's going to be full of algae. Nothing's going to live in it. It's going to be like the Dead Sea. Things are coming in, but nothing's going out. And everything in it's going to die. And so I say, Lord, I want to have a thanksgiving heart. I want to have a revolving door in my life. And I want to take my hand and I want to bless somebody else with it. Somebody say, praise God. Now, thanksgiving was so important to God. Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 7 through 9 tells us that God placed priests over nothing but the thanksgiving sacrifice. The word of the Lord says, these were the chief of the priests and of the brethren in the days of Jeshua. Moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, Binui, and Kadmiel and Sherahiah and Judah and Mattaniah, sounds like my kinfolk, which was over what? Over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren. Thanksgiving in our heart is very important to God. He knows that it will bring joy to our life, and more importantly, it will bring blessings to our life. Because the word of the Lord says, as we sow, so shall we. And so the more thanksgiving we can become, that while we're giving, we're thankful in our heart, we're joyful in our heart, we're cheerful in our heart. It's a glorious thing to be able to do this. Then the more joy and power and peace and contentment that will come into our lives. David talks about the sacrifice of thanksgiving in Psalms 107. In verse number 22 of that psalm, the word of the Lord says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. We find in Psalms 107, he names things to be thankful for. I wonder, while I name some of these things, I wonder if you can find yourself in here and we can say to ourselves, I can be thankful for that as well, David. God has done that for me also, David. David said, these are things to be thankful for. He redeemed me from the hand of my enemy. Is there anybody here tonight that can say, God has redeemed me from the hand of my enemy? He redeemed me from the hand of my enemy. He gathered me out of the lands of Egypt. He delivered me out of distress. He led me forth by the right way. He satisfied the longing of my soul. He brought me out of darkness and out of the shadow of death. He broke the bands off of me that held me bound. He made my storm to become calm. I can stand with David tonight and I can say, David, God
God has done that for me as well. My storm has been calmed. He's brought me out from the land of Egypt. He's delivered me from the enemies of my soul. He has satisfied me. He brought me up out of the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm here to be thankful. I'm here to rejoice. I'm here to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody shout, I'm thankful. Oh, that wasn't good enough. Shout, I'm thankful. Praise God, praise God. Leviticus chapter 22 and verse number 29 says, and when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. True thankfulness can never be expressed if something is being coerced out of you, being forced out of you, being drugged out of you. You feel pressured to do it. And if we're not careful, we can get ourselves in a situation that when a need arises, for example, Brother Sapp mentioned the Philippine Islands. All of us have read, seen, heard, whatever, about this disastrous storm. Landed in the little area it went in with sustained winds of 195 miles an hour. Winds that gusted to 235 miles an hour. When the typhoon came in, it had such a low barometric pressure in the center that it came in what's called a tidal wave, which really isn't a big giant wave, some think. But it's literally, the pressure is so low in the middle of the storm that it lifts the water in that area. And the pressure was so low in this storm, it was so strong and so well defined that it lifted the water 24 feet. So that means when the eye came across, it brought with it a wall of water 24 feet deep, which just walked right over the island. Not to mention 235 mile an hour gust winds and 195 sustained. Folks, Florida has never seen a storm of that magnitude. This storm was incredible. It was powerful. Really, it was right there at the wall of the eye. It's considered a Category 4 tornado. A tornado 35 miles wide. Can you imagine that? That's what the wall was. And coming across this island with these powerful winds, destroying everything in its path. So we have brothers and sisters there. We have churches and pastors that are in the area, and we're trying to get a calculation of all of the damage and everything that's going on. And but you know, we don't need to wait till we hear everything that's needed. We know there's need, right? So we just do what we can. But here's what happens. If you have yourself in a place of thanksgiving where you're thankful for what God has given you, and no, it's not much, but it's enough. And it's not an abundant, but we're okay. We're surviving, we're living, everything's all right. And you're in a way of thankfulness and thanksgiving. Then when a need like this arises, you're able to reach into your little and still give. And together, when we all do that, it becomes a little bigger than what any of us could do by ourselves. And so we're able to send money, and it helps buy medicines and different things that they need, and food and ice. And it helps pay the way for the doctors and the nurses that are going to be going over there from the United Pentecostal Church, from Compassion Corporation that's going to be sending. But if you're not in a place of thanksgiving, and if you've allowed yourself to get in a place to where you're just kind of hardened in keeping, and you've kind of lost sight of everything that God has blessed you with and everything God has truly done with you. And you become unsatisfied with the things that you have, and you find yourself coveting your neighbor and coveting in jealousy over other things. I'm going to tell you what happens when the preacher gets up and says, "We have a need." And the first thought that comes into your mind is, "Oh, great, another need. Another offering. He's asking for another dollar, another $10. And instead of reaching in and saying, "God, I don't have much, but I got an extra $8 this week, and Lord, I'll give four of it to the need. I know it's not a lot, God, but you'll bless it. I know you will, and I'm thankful for it." And then that heart of thankfulness begins to rise up inside of you. That's the importance of being in that area, that no matter what is asked of you of God, or when it's asked, you don't gripe, or you're not upset or angry. You just look at what you've got and see what you can do. And the revolving door and the hand, thanksgiving, reaches in and grabs and gives what it can. And a brother's blessed and a sister's blessed. I want to be in that place with God. I don't want to give grudgingly. I don't want to have a spirit that holds back. I want to be in that place with God, that no matter what's asked, when it's asked, whatever I have, it may be a lot, it may not, but whatever it is, here it is, and God bless, take it, use it, and let the name of Jesus be glorified. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And so it's to be offered with your own will. You know, a couple of places where it's amazing to find the word thanksgiving, of course, is in the book of Job. Look at your neighbor and say, "I've got something to be thankful for." And some of us might feel like we don't have anything to be thankful because we're in a hard place. We're in a hard situation. Well, one thing I have learned is I don't have to think very long before I can think of somebody who's a little worse off than me. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. I got two strong legs, Mario. I don't have to pull myself up into a wheelchair and roll myself out of here tonight. I got something to be thankful for. However, Mario sits in a wheelchair, and Mario says, "Yeah, but I'm not laying in the bed of quadriplegic. At least I can roll myself out of this place here tonight." Folks, it never ends. It never ends. The old saying, "I complained I didn't have shoes till I saw the man with no feet." We always have something to give praise about. Job, I mean, I look at this and I think, you know, Job, everything that he went through. And I tell you what, I kind of chuckle when I hear people say, "I feel like Job." I'm like, dude, you have no clue. You do not feel like Job. Nobody came, knocked on your door today and told you that every one of your kids are dead. No one came, knocked on your door today and said that all of your wealth is gone. You didn't wake up this morning with everything else going on and your body's covered with boils. You do not feel like Job. You have no clue what Job went through. None of us in this building. And Job is the example to us that no matter what you go through, you praise God, you don't get angry, you don't accuse God, you stay faithful, and in the end, you'll have more than you ever dreamed you could have ever owned. And I'm not necessarily talking about material possessions, and as apostolics, you know that. I'm talking about everything that God can give us. And so here's Job. He's lost his children. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his homes. He's lost everything he has. He's lost his health. His friends have turned against him. His wife came in and said, "Curse God and die." And in Job chapter 12 and verse 9, it said, "Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord have wrought this?" Job, I mean, that is unbelievably amazing. We're not talking about about a flat tire on the side of the road where we kind of justify our little extra anger and labor, and we say to ourselves, well, maybe the Lord caused the flat tire so I can do such and such, and maybe the Lord did. However, that's pretty much a small thing. Job is talking about the loss of his children, the loss of his wealth, the loss of his health, the loss of his wife, the loss of everything. And Job, people are talking to him and saying, Job, what's going on? What are you doing? What's happening in your life? What sin have you done? And Job says, who knows whether God has brought this into my life? Verse number 10. And then Job says, and by the way, I am in his hand, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all of mankind. Listen, if you got up today and you were breathing, it's because God gave you a breath. I think that's something to be thankful about. It doesn't matter where I am, what my position is. If I'm breathing, God deserves thanks. The secondary root meaning of that, Brother Waller, on the thankfulness, is the thrusting of the hand into the air. It is also a sign of surrender. When I'm being thankful to God, I am surrendering myself to Him. Why? Because I am acknowledging everything I have has come from You. Everything I'll ever do is because of You. Oh, Jesus, I'm thankful. I surrender. I give all. I acknowledge You are my everything. Somebody say hallelujah. He said in another place, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Are you thankful tonight? Is there something in you that says, thank You, Jesus? The old saying, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. How many in here is over 50? And I got an old church. How many, when you turn 50, from time to time, you sit down on the edge of your bed and you begin thinking that the day is going to come when you're going to take your last breath? And you say, but Lord, I don't want to leave my children or my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren. Lord, I want to be here for my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. You let Adam saw his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. He didn't die. He's 900 years old. He saw so many generations. Adam had 10,000 grandkids. He's got a lot more than that today. We don't want to die. We love life. Don't kid yourself. It don't matter how rough it gets, and there may be some exceptions, but those got sick in the head. I don't mean that ugly. I'm talking about just confusion or demonic possession or whatever it may be. Things can happen in the head. But we love life, even when it's hard and even when it's difficult. We don't want to die. We want to go to heaven when we're 1,012 years old. That's when we'll go to heaven. Everybody wants to live, and everybody wants to live longer. It's a joyful thing to be alive, isn't it? So why don't you give thanks to the one that keeps you that way? Hallelujah. Praise God. And that is what Job was saying here. And all of the situation that he's in and all of the difficulty that's in, he reckoned in his sickness and the pain and the abandonment and the loss of his children and all, everything, there's no way to express it with language. There's no way to comprehend it in our minds, in the depth of despondency that Job must have fallen. But in the depth of despondency, one of the things that would come out of his mouth, I woke up today and I took a breath and I recognize that God gave me that breath. He may have taken everything else from me, And he may have chosen not to give me certain things that he gave other people. But today, he gave me breath. And because I have breath, I live. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. I'm thankful to you, Lord. I'm thankful to you, Lord. I'm thankful to you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Come on, let's spend a season here right now. Let's spend a season. I love you, Jesus. Thankfulness means to thrust your hand in the air. Put your hand in the air and just wave it to the Lord. We're thankful. We're thankful to you, Jesus. We love you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything. We bless you. We have a revolving door in our life. As it comes in, we're going to take our hand and we're going to thrust it out. We're thankful. Help us to bless others, God. Help us to touch others in the wonderful name of Jesus. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Just a little longer. And David was thankful in the entire chapter, 2 Samuel chapter number 22. The first verse of that wonderful chapter, David speaks unto the Lord the words of this song, and he cries out to him and expresses unto him how thankful that he is. And as you make your way through chapter number 22, look at the things that David talks about. David says, the Lord is my rock and he is my fortress. He says, the Lord is my deliverer. And then he says, the Lord is the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower and he's my refuge. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon the high places. He giveth me a shield of my salvation. David went on to say, though thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet will not slip, thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemy. And then David ends that chapter by saying in verse 50, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name. David never thanked him for the wealth. He never thanked him for the things of this world. When you read into that chapter, he was thanking him for things that are intangible, things that can't be touched, but they were more valuable to David than the palace. They were more valuable to David than the throne. They were more valuable to David than anything else. That God was his shield. God was his refuge. God was his salvation. Why? Because these are the things that really matter in life. These are the things that are going to carry me and you to the end of the battle. These are the things that are going to enable us to cross the finish line, to run the race and finish the race and make it in to a place called heaven. And because of that, I am thankful. I am thankful. I am thankful. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I'm going to close with these few verses here. There's so much to give thanks unto the Lord for. 1 Corinthians 16 and 34. I didn't give these to you, sister. You won't have time to follow me. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 35, give thanks to his holy name. Psalms 26 and 7, thankful for his wondrous works. Psalms 30 and 4, thankful for remembering him in his holiness. Psalms 119, 62, thankful for his righteous judgments. Daniel 2 and 23, thank him for his wisdom. Luke 17 and 16, thank him for his healing. Romans 6 and 17, thank him for his deliverance. Corinthians 15, 57, thank him for victory. For God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Corinthians 1 and 12, thank him because we are partakers of his inheritance. Hebrews 13 and 15. Thank him for the fruit of our lips. We'll give praise and thanks to his name. Ephesians 5 and 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Revelations 11 and 17. We give thanks unto thee, O Lord God Almighty. We are thankful. We are thankful. Let's stand to our feet and with all your might clap your hands, lift your voice, give thanks to your Lord. Give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. He's a wonderful God. He's a loving God. He's an awesome God. He cares for us. He cares for us. He loves us, Brother Waller. He loves us. He loves us. He keeps us. He strengthens us. He helps us. He walks with us. He protects us. He delivers us. He heals us. He cares for us. He's there for us. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you. 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 We love you, Jesus. 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 Listen, this world robs us of so many things. I'm going to close with this. I think our biggest mistake is that we thank God for the wrong things. Now, we ought to be thankful for all things. However, so much of our thankfulness is tied to material things. Because that's the thing that's the most tangible to us. We understand it the best. We're flesh. And we like material things. And so we have a quick response to thank God for a raise on the job, and you should. We have a quick response to thank God for the things that he's given us. But when you thank him for giving you the job, do you thank him when you lose it? And if you thank him for giving you the car, do you thank him when it's totaled? Same God, right? Same piece of material. Somebody just hit somebody over the head with that thing. We're quick to thank God for things. It's our nature. But there's a powerful fallacy in that, or a weakness in that, is that things, everything you can touch and everything that you can see will die. Rust, corrode, grow old, fall apart, lose its usefulness, everything, it all. And these are the things that we have the tendency to thank him the most for. And the problem with that is, because we're human, we're excited and we thank him when it's good, but we're sad. And if we'll be honest with ourselves, not too many of us gave thanks to the Lord when it went bad. Until after the preacher got up and preached a sermon like this. And then you go home and say, Lord, I thank you I lost that job. I thank you my motor's burning oil. I thank you that. You know, then we do it. But if we can learn to give God thanks and praise for the things that really matter, how can a man, and we've heard about Job so much, we are desensitized to him. But how can a man who just lost all of his children, he lost his homes, his cattle, his sheep, his oxen, all of his wealth, his friends who he thought would come and comfort him, accused him. His wife forsook him where it counted the most emotionally. From what we can read in the Bible, she hung around for some reason, and he had to continue to feed her and clothe her when all this was done. But anyway, I guess that's a thankful heart. How can a man who's lost all of that still be thankful? Unless his thankfulness was never tied to any of that. In fact, I think I remember him saying, "Hey guys, I was naked when I came in." That's how God brought me here. I was naked. I didn't come out in a tux. There was nothing on me. Wasn't no gold ring on my finger. I was naked. And he said, "And I'm going to be naked when I leave." It's Job's way of saying, these aren't the things that matter. All these things that the devil thought he would curse God and die over, all Job said, these aren't the things that matter. And Job never lost his worship, and he never lost his thankfulness, because his thankfulness was, "I woke up today, and I'm still breathing. What a beautiful day it is." Woo! Job understood that God was his keeper, and God was his helper, and God was his deliverer, and all of the things that really mattered. And he said, "I'll see him again. When I die in this old flesh, I'll see him again. I'll see God. I'll see God. Because the thing that really matters, I give him thanks for. He's the keeper of my soul, and he watches over me." Our homework on this Wednesday night service is to consciously make an effort to start thanking God for things that really matter. How many of you know, sincerely, we say this all the time, but how many of you really know that if it wasn't for the mercy of God, you would not be saved today? You really understand that? That we know ourselves enough that if God left it up to us, we would never make it. But when we were at our weakest moment, God reached down. And when the devil was about to have his way, he just took his hand and said, "No. No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. This one's mine. This one's mine." If there's nothing else, there's one thing that we certainly need to understand, and that every day we need to be thankful that we're still in the church. And still in the church. And still saved. And that every day we recognize that he is our refuge. He is our strength. Some of you have gone through, and some of you are still going through, some unbelievable hardships and trials. And some of the trials are in the areas that it hurts the most. It's not losing a home or a car. It's losing a loved one. Or a friend, support, or strength, a spouse. These are areas that are difficult. And so we're able to stand before God and understand that I am thankful that you are my keeper and my refuge and my strength and my shield. And my lover of my soul. And every day I get up with all that's wrong with me, I feel your presence, God. I feel your touch. I feel your love and your goodness. And I am thankful. I am thankful. I am thankful. So our homework is to consciously think of those things that God has done for us and continues to do for us. Get your eyes off the things. Remember what the Lord said? He said, if you'll seek my kingdom first, I'll take care of all these things. He'll do it. He'll bless us for what we need, for what we need. And sometimes he'll even give you the desires of your heart when the desires of your heart are his desires for you as well. I want to learn to thank him for the things that really matter in my life. And when you attach your thankfulness to the things that really matter, like Job, when all of your world falls apart around you, there'll still be a thankfulness in your heart because it was never attached to those things anyway. It's always been attached to him. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Somebody shout out, I'm thankful, Lord. From your heart, say, I'm thankful, Lord. Amen. That's how we're going to close. Every eye closed. In your mind, I want you to think of something that you're very thankful for that the Lord has done for you. Not something that's tangible, something that's spiritual that the Lord has done for you. Maybe he brought you through a trial. Maybe he delivered you from depression or some spirit. Maybe he's kept you in a very difficult place. Something God has done for you that you know in your heart you're thankful. Maybe you haven't really told him lately. I'm sure you have, but not lately. And what we're going to do is together, the word thankfulness means the thrusting of the hands in the air. What we're going to do is we're going to throw our hands in the air and we're going to begin to thank God for this thing that's in our heart and in our mind. You ready? On three. One, two, three. Do it. That feels good. Oh, that does something for the soul. That does something for the soul. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Oh, we're thankful. We're thankful. We're thankful. We're thankful. We're thankful. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, I feel the glory of the Lord in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful is my God. Wonderful is my God. Wonderful is my God. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. And the Bible says we ought to be thankful for one another too. We're strength to one another and a help to one another. So greet one another in the precious name of the Lord. It's only 8:15. So why don't you hang around for a little while? You got till 9 o'clock. And just talk with one another. It's nice and cool outside. Go outside and enjoy the beautiful air. God bless you. I love every one of you.